Rogers Times, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal, all noted willing servants of capitalism, such as we have seen, to smear the great names of socialism, such as in ourselves. The presence of Brzezinski would impress Newsweek. He had contributed a regular column to that magazine from December 69 through June 72, as would its parent company, publishers of the Washington Post, and Rockefeller sponsoring of a presidential candidate would put weight with CBS, of which the Chase voting 5.9% of the network stock executives monetary control minority control as well as with the American Broadcasting Company and the New York Times, whose boards of directors interlock with that of Chase, the tap to the financial and get out the vote power of labor, Brzezinski, fascist, appointed I.W. Abel, president of the United Steelworkers, another big boss of capitalism. Trade unions are not free in USA. Yes, a big boss of America, Leonard Woodstock, president of the United Automotive Workers, and Lane Kirkland, security treasurer of the AFL-CIO, and the heir apparent to George Meany, who we all know his infamy. He wouldn't even give food when he had millions in the surplus treasury. He would not give a bit of food to the hundreds of thousands striking miners who had been on a strike against the corrupt mining practices and unsafe conditions in the last few weeks for 115 days. The re-inclusion of Representative Donald Frazier, Democrat, Minnesota, President of Americans for Democratic Action, would reason and reassure Democratic liberals who might otherwise be pulled off by the commission's multinational complexion. A brilliant stroke was the appointment of Representative John Brandemus, Democrat, Indiana, whose job as majority whip consists of lining up the veto of the votes for Democratic congressmen. Brzezinski, fascist inclusion of key Democrats, was crucial because it was highly unlikely that the trilateral candidate could run as a Republican. The name Rockefeller is a cuss word among members of the Republican right even today, whose name typically accuses the Rockefeller family of masterminding a capitalist conspiracy of corporate liberals to impose socialist world government. The right wing and the left, unfortunately, are not far apart. They both see a trilateral commission that controls the world of capitalist economics, but they don't unfortunately see that it's not the communist but the rich, lust-ridden, money-mongered capitalists that are doing so. But in some nations of South America today, we're seeing the right and left fight side by side, as in Nicaragua, against the oppressive Somoza regime that was put in power by our CIA and dreadfully by our tax dollars, and still supported today. But the Democratic Party was fragmented. In the aftermath of the McGovern disaster and its 1976 nomination was up to grabs, in the past, prospective Democratic presidents had emerged from the caucuses and smoke-filled rooms of Democratic Party policies only after they had won acceptance and national pronouncement. Would they have had to pass muster on Wall Street? Never before had the internationalist foreign affairs monopoly capitalist community fielded its own candidate for the nomination. They recognized world control over capitalism. Brzezinski's plan to place a trilateral member in the White House began with the naming of the commission of a possible candidate. Although Walter Mondale, then Democratic senator from Minnesota, and the Democratic senator from Minnesota had a national reputation as a liberal on domestic issues, he was regarded by the voters of his own state as a conservative, and a reliable corporate internationalist on foreign affairs. I met him in the airplane. I was selected by the mayor to receive him in San Francisco, where he said sanctimoniously, "We never again will bomb the people like the Chileans. I promise you, Reverend Jones, we will never again invade in any of these countries and kill innocent people." His words drip with blood. Evil man. His liberal image made it unlikely that he would be the commission's presidential candidate. Since 1952, John Kennedy had been the only liberal to be elected, and that by the very slimmest of margins, because the country is going far right. Right means more fascist, more capitalist every day. To achieve this, Kennedy had to mobilize the entire infrastructure of Democratic machine politics, most of which no longer existed in the 1970s. On the other hand, Mondale could lend a liberal luster to the ticket, a cachet, as it were. We are 6/7 finished, I believe. This is the last page. Oh, second to last. We've got two more. Well, I think we shall just stop the reading for the moment. And you can study it up to now. You can see the buildup of how the big bosses, documented by Harper's and the magazine that they accuse of being a sex magazine, but it does give a lot of truth, Playboy, on just how evil the Trilateral Commission is that is trying to rule the capitalist world. I want everyone to know it, study it, because someday I'll ask you to write all you know about it. So there'll be enough now that the librarian will be able to put on the blackboard, and with other news, and you'll be able to read the 5/7 of which you have already been given. You've been given 5 full pages, long pages, and with my interpretations to break down so it'll be able for you to be understood easier. So I want you to understand this, because it's very, very shocking that Carter has no power at all. He is absolutely nothing but a puppet. Brzezinski, his chief aide, decides everything, and he is the head of the Trilateral Commission, and they are the ones that are calling the shots. Much love. Commission, by the way, before it's deciding on Carter, a year and a half before he was picked to be handpicked, I should be, to be a puppet president, they jokingly said Jimmy Carter was a perfect trilateral candidate. Once he got to Washington, he wouldn't be able to find his way to the bathroom without the commission's help. That shows you how disgusting and filthy U.S. politics are.